Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Crusade all across America. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day despite the fact that the stories are horrifying. Exploding car bombs, claiming scores of innocent lives. Hospitals and schools attacked at random by masked gunmen firing into crowds. Children slaughtered, homes and shops destroyed and looted. People left homeless and running in terror. Are we talking about the Middle East in the year 2002? No, actually, we're talking about the Middle East in 1947 and 48 and 49. We're talking about the origins of the current conflict, because the terror did not begin yesterday or the day before yesterday. And if you want to understand what is going on in terms of the Middle Eastern struggle, Israel's struggle for survival, the Palestinian struggle, if you will, for a state of their own, you need to understand the origins, the background, the historical context. And that kind of understanding is what we are providing to try to give you some clarity in this regard in this very special broadcast of the Michael Medved Show, Five Middle Eastern Wars. It's obviously terribly easy for anybody to get confused, because the fighting has been intermittent but so regular and so horrifying in the Middle East, fighting between the various Arab states and the Palestinians and the Israelis. How do you keep the different wars straight? Well, we'll try to do that for you in this special broadcast. And you begin at the beginning, because the beginning goes back before the State of Israel was even officially declared and recognized. It begins with the partition plan that was voted on by the United Nations in 1947, which immediately provoked the most bloody spasm of Arab terrorism in the history of the Middle East, or indeed of the world. That's right. Much worse, if you want to talk about the number of people who were actually killed, than anything that Israel has experienced since that time. Here's the story. In 1947, in November, after the long run-up and the weariness of the British in trying to deal with the Jewish community and the Arab community that weren't getting along at all in the British Mandate of Palestine, the British government turned the whole question over to the United Nations and basically said, look, you deal with it. There were 650,000 Jews living in what later was to become the State of Israel at the time. They were living in the city of Jerusalem, where there was a strong Jewish majority. They were living in the big Jewish metropolis of Tel Aviv, a city founded by those Jewish settlers. And they were living in settlements that had been established all over the country. But from the beginnings of Jewish settlement, there had been a very violent reaction by some of the Arabs who both arrived in Israel after the Jews had begun to
pay his campaign expenses. He seems to have all but given up. We will tell you about that on the Michael Medved Show. Meanwhile, there is this story about the state capitals. The way it's covered in the Washington Post is that security threats have been reported in Connecticut, Georgia, Kentucky, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, and Montana so far today. The FBI said it was aware of hoax bomb threats in state capitals around the country and urged the public to report any suspicious activity to law enforcement. The FBI takes hoax threats very seriously because it puts innocent people at risk, the FBI said in a statement. While we have no information to indicate a specific and credible threat, we will continue to work with our local, state, and federal law enforcement partners to gather, share, and act upon threat information as it comes to our attention. Several people at the Connecticut Capitol this morning, this is in Hartford, they received emails about a threat that they then reported to law enforcement. Does this, any of it, have any association with the crazed driver who jumped out of his car and started firing shots at the Supreme Court building in Denver, Colorado, and then came into the Supreme Court building and did considerable damage, shooting at various floors? Now, this is, does this have any connection? No one knows yet. With the recent decision by the Colorado Supreme Court, a 4-3 decision to strike Trump off the Colorado ballot. Doubtful. No one has even drawn that connection as yet, but it's part of what is going on in this very edgy beginning of a very big new year, a new year of a presidential election. It was an email, and this is back in Connecticut, an email that somebody had claimed to have placed multiple explosives within our Capitol building, said Lieutenant Greg Wimble, who is a Connecticut Capitol Police spokesman. That's what he told the Washington Post. In Kentucky, Governor Andy Beshear, just recently reelected, said in a social media post today that a threat received by the Secretary of State's office had prompted the Kentucky State Police to evacuate the Capitol in Frankfort. In Michigan, a threat was emailed to a general account for the State Capitol Commission about 7:45 a.m. this morning, said Michigan State Police spokesman. The Capitol was evacuated, building searched, and the Michigan State Police currently has MSP, Michigan State Police canine team still sweeping the building. In Minnesota, an unspecified threat interrupted oral arguments at the Minnesota Supreme Court. The Minnesota Capitol was also locked down after security officials were made aware of bomb threats received via email at other state capitals across the country. It is unclear why the emails targeted the states above, writes NBC. A mix of red, blue, and swing states. The threats come amid an increase in attacks threatened and real on public officials, including a spate of swatting incidents recently that targeted politicians from both sides of the aisle. Swatting refers to the act of making phony calls for help, leading heavily armed law enforcement personnel to show up at the homes of unsuspecting residents who in recent cases have been members of Congress and other elected officials. The threats also come as officials prepare to mark the third anniversary of the January 6, 2021 insurrection, when a pro-Trump mob overran the U.S. Capitol to stop the certification of Joe Biden's electoral win. The unprecedented attack left five people dead, including a police officer and a woman shot by police. Two other officers who were on duty that day later died by suicide, and more than 100 officers were injured. These attacks have anything to do with the anniversary of the Capitol building riots? Really, why? Why would there be a connection? And why would you go after the state capitals, and particularly these state capitals? Now, meanwhile, there is this, which is more than 100 killed in blasts at memorial for top Iranian General Soleimani. Two explosions rocked a memorial service for Iranian General Qasem Soleimani, killing more than 100 people and injuring at least 140. Media in Iran reported today. The first blast struck about 2,300 feet from Soleimani's grave in the Kerman Martyrs Cemetery in southern Iran. And the Soleimani, who grew up in Kerman, the regional capital of a province of the same name, was buried in the cemetery after he was killed by a U.S. drone strike in Iraq's capital. What does it all mean? for politics, for governance, for security. We'll get to that and more coming up on the MedVet Show.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night, and more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a three-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, MichaelMedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org.
Are you paying too much for term life insurance? There's a tremendous price war among the major term life companies. Rates have dropped dramatically in the past 2 years. For example, a man age 45 non-tobacco user, $1 million of coverage is only $75 per month, level for the next 10 years. Or a man age 50 non-tobacco user can buy $500,000 of coverage for a monthly premium of only $110. Guaranteed not to change for the next 20 years. That's right, level rates for 20 years. And if you're a smoker, we have great rates for you as well. At the Term Lifeline, we specialize in policies of $500,000 and above. So if you're looking for new or replacement term life insurance, call right now for a free quote.
Rates and availability may vary by state. Sample rate quotes are based on preferred non-tobacco underwriting exam required to qualify.
800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. 800-430-1891. That's 800-430-1891.
The Silver Lungs Generator is the only all-encompassing professional class product for producing endless colloidal and ionic silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. With recent regulations threatening the sale of silver-based supplements, now you can secure yourself and your family by producing your own silver solutions anywhere, anytime. You can have the peace of mind knowing that you can create endless supply of silver anytime, anywhere, for any application. The Silver Lungs Generator is a one-time purchase that requires no maintenance nor replacement parts for the life of the unit. This product was designed to be an invaluable part of your vital preparations. For a detailed report on the differences between ionic silver, colloidal silver, and what most silver solution manufacturers are producing, please visit our website at www.silverlungs.com for more information on why you should be producing your own silver solutions right from your home forever.
Iran and a Hamas leader killed in Lebanon. This all is sparking fears of a broader Middle East war. We are talking about the more than 100 people killed at a memorial service for the third anniversary or for third anniversary of the killing of General Qasem Soleimani. This was back under the Trump administration, and it was a something that President Trump was proud of because Soleimani is somebody who had killed Americans, threatened to kill more Americans, and that thing was a positive development that he was taken out. But this mass killing at a funeral or a memorial service at a cemetery, this does not sound like the kind of attack that Israel, for instance, has ever done before. Certainly not on Iran proper, nor does it sound like the kind of thing the United States or our secret operatives would be doing. This is the way it was reported on NBC, clip 6.
There are growing concerns about a widening conflict in the Middle East. Iranian state media announced today more than 100 people are dead and dozens of others are hurt after two explosions went off during a memorial for Iran's top general. A U.S. drone strike killed him back in 2020.
The blast comes just a day after Hamas claimed that one of its senior leaders, along with six other members, were killed in Beirut, Lebanon. Now, Israel has yet to confirm or deny responsibility for that attack, but the country's military says it is prepared for any scenario. These are some pretty big developments. I mean, an Iranian official is describing the explosions as terrorist attacks. What else do we know in terms of just the details of what actually happened?
Well, top Iranian leaders, Morgan, are already pointing the finger at Israel and the United States for being responsible for these two explosions, which appear to have potentially been suicide bombs in Iran that killed well over 100 people at this ceremony for a top Quds Force official who was killed 4 years ago in a U.S. strike.
Okay. The idea that these are suicide bombings or likely suicide bombings, that is definitely not something that in the history books has ever involved Israeli operatives or U.S. operatives, for that matter. The semi-official Fars news agency reported that three policemen were among the dead. Rahman Jalili, who is the Kerman province deputy governor for security, told the state-run IRNA news agency that the explosions had been carried out by terrorists. The semi-official Tasnim news agency said the blasts were caused by two explosive-laden suitcases. Iranians have gathered at the cemetery to commemorate Soleimani each year since his death, which was directed by then-President Trump, and sparked angry protests in Iran and Iraq, with many calling for revenge on the U.S. Speaking of revenge on the U.S., U.S. Navy helicopters sank three Houthi boats in the Red Sea. This was on Sunday, as the Iranian-backed pirates attacked and attempted to board the Maersk Hangzhou, a Singapore-flagged, Danish-owned container ship that had come under Houthi missile fire the night before. This is more on John Kirby. Admiral Kirby, who is a spokesman for the National Security Office of the White House, talked about the explosions on Iran today with that killed, according to Iranian sources, at least 100 people. Listen, this is clip 16.
We are at a point now where we have a lot of great detail on this bombing. Certainly our hearts go out to all the innocent victims and their family members, who are obviously, their lives are going to be forever changed by this, but we don't have any more detail in terms of how it happened or who would might be responsible for it. On your second question, again, I would point you to our Israeli partners to talk more about this. We're again not in a position to confirm the specific reports. I would just tell you that Al-Houthi was a noted designated global terrorist, and if he is in fact dead, nobody should be shedding a tear over his loss.
I think you don't have any great detail on who was responsible, but can you rule out that Israel had anything to do with this?
We have no indication at this time at all that Israel was involved in any way whatsoever.
No indication, but just to be clear, you don't think, did they support or assist in some other way?
I'm not going to speak for another nation. I would just tell you that we have no indication that Israel was in any way involved in this.
And the New York Times reports they're talking now about the earlier killing yesterday of Salah al-Aruri, who was one of the top Hamas commanders, somebody who had been arrested in Israel years before for kidnapping and killing three Israeli teenagers, and who was a pledged, open, committed leader of Hamas who believes in killing as many Jews and as many Israelis as possible. New York Times reports Israeli officials would not comment on whether their forces had targeted Mr. al-Aruri, but officials from Lebanon and the United States ascribed the attack to Israel. A senior U.S. official, who remains anonymous, said it was most likely the first of many strikes that Israel would carry out against Hamas operatives connected to the October 7th assault. No one is safe if they have any hand in planning, raising money, or carrying out those attacks, said the American official, who spoke on condition of anonymity to talk about sensitive internal discussions. Citing Israel's vow to hunt down the perpetrators of the October 7th attack, wherever they are, the official added, "This is just the beginning, and it'll go on for years." And again, what people are looking at is the example of the Munich murders of 11 Olympic athletes who were there to participate in the Olympics, and Israelis were murdered by Palestinian operatives. And there was a determined decision by the then Prime Minister, Golda Meir, to go back after them, not for the purpose of revenge, but for the purpose of safety and security and deterrence, so people understand there are consequences. Israel did not warn the United States about the attack beforehand, but briefed senior American officials when it was underway, a U.S. official said, confirming a support report by Axios. Mr. al-Aruri played a key role in Hamas's relationship with its regional allies and in increasing Hamas's military capabilities. A longtime Hamas operative, he was one of the founders of the group's armed wing and was linked to a number of attacks on Israeli civilians. We will be right back with more. Death to Israel and death to America chanted together. We'll talk about that coming up.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. Maine's Secretary of State says she remains focused despite recent reporting about death threats made against her.
We have received threatening communications. Those are unacceptable.
This comes in the wake of her decision to drop former President Trump from that state's GOP primary ballot. While speaking to CNN over the weekend, Shenna Bellows said she intends to adhere to the process. A Georgetown University professor and longtime CIA analyst is claiming many in the U.S. intelligence community will be working against Republicans in the coming election cycle. Dr. John Gentry is also pushing his new book titled Neutering the CIA. He said if former President Trump becomes the GOP nominee, government intel operatives are likely to be working overtime to achieve his defeat in 2024. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you, too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie-cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire fireplace grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
At Social Security, we are always thinking of ways to save you time and make things easier. That's why we created My Social Security. Opening a My Social Security account gives you secure access to your personal record and interactive tools tailored for you. You can see if you are eligible to receive benefits, view spousal benefit estimates, and compare retirement benefit estimates at different ages or dates when you want to start receiving benefits. Already receiving benefits? Use your account to change your address, set up or change direct deposit, get a proof of income letter, and more. In most states, you can also request a replacement Social Security card. Save time. Go online. Open a My Social Security account at ssa.gov/myaccount. Social Security, securing today and tomorrow.
Produced at U.S. taxpayer expense.
And on the Michael Medved show, more about what is going on in the Middle East, which, for people who worry about an expansion of the war to include Hezbollah, to include perhaps Iran itself, there was a good deal of video that was released by Reuters. While authorities in Iran did not publicly assign blame for the double bombing that killed at least 100 people at some kind of memorial service for Qasem Soleimani, the Iranian terrorist who was killed by an American strike, the Iran's Ismail Khani said that the attacks were carried out by, quote, agents of the Zionist regime, he means Israel, and the United States of America. Tehran often accuses its arch enemies, Israel and the United States, of backing anti-Iran militant groups. They say here often, this means invariably. And the truth of the matter is, when you look at the style of this particular attack, people need to remember that there are still literally thousands of terrorists who are involved with the Sunni branch of Islam and do not have any affection at all for Iran, because the war ongoing for it's about 1,500 years almost, 1,400 years, it's a long time, between Sunnis and Shiites, that is still very much in operation. And when you are talking about these various operatives, it's very confusing because Hamas is not a Shiite group. It is a Sunni Muslim group closer to Al-Qaeda or to ISIS. However, it is funded by and supported by the Shiites from Iran. Speaking about the Saleh al-Aruri, the Hamas commander who was wiped out in a bombing, he was killed together with six other people that were identified by Hamas as leaders of that group, so they get to be instant martyrs. Mr. al-Aruri worked with Yahya Sinwar, who is still at large, Hamas's chief in Gaza. In recent years, to link the group's military ring more closely to Iran, which regional security officials say most likely helped the group develop some of the capabilities it used in that brutal October 7th attack. Israel has accused Mr. Sinwar of helping to plot the assault, which officials say killed about 1,200 people and included the abduction of 240 others to Gaza. A number of commentators have made the point, and I think it's true, that obviously these attacks, the attack in Beirut, killing a top Hamas commander, which does look, even though no one is saying so publicly, that it was likely the work of Israel. And then this other mysterious attack in the cemetery in Iran with more than 100 dead. And who knows who was perpetrator there? The United States, which considers both Hezbollah and Hamas terrorist organizations, had offered a reward of up to $5 million for information on Mr. al-Aruri's whereabouts. What's fascinating to me is with al-Aruri now wiped out, did anybody get that money? Rear Admiral Daniel Hagari, the Israeli military's chief spokesman, said in a televised briefing that Israeli forces were on very high alert on all fronts for defensive and offensive actions. He emphasized that Israel was focused on fighting Hamas in what some Israeli analysts interpreted as a suggestion that it did not seek a wider war with Hezbollah. Hamas's top political leader, Ismail Haniyeh, who lives in Qatar, I believe. He does not live in Gaza or anywhere controlled by Hamas. But Ismail Haniyeh said the strike that killed Mr. al-Aruri, two Hamas military commanders, and four other members of Hamas. As news of Mr. al-Aruri's death spread across the region, the Israeli military said yesterday that it had begun withdrawing some soldiers from parts of Gaza, part of a planned pullout of about five brigades, but its forces continued pounding the enclave with airstrikes, residents said. The Israeli pullback in Gaza was accompanied by an announcement by the United States Navy that we would withdraw from the eastern Mediterranean, the aircraft carrier, the USS Gerald R. Ford, which President Biden had ordered in the region after October 7th. The Ford was dispatched off the coast of Israel in an effort to deter Iran and its proxies in the region from widening the war in the immediate aftermath of the Hamas-led attack. Another carrier, the Dwight D. Eisenhower, is on station in the Gulf of Aden, off the coast of Yemen, and the Navy said that a three-ship amphibious force with more than 2,000 Marines would take over for the Ford in the eastern Mediterranean. Now, whether that means that those Marines are likely to see action in any way, who knows? But who knows about the idea of a ceasefire, which is so much wanted by the left and by sympathizers from Hamas, but there's a piece in Atlantic that makes it clear that Hamas itself will have nothing to do with a ceasefire. The piece that I'm referring to is piece by Graham Wood that appeared in Atlantic. And the piece that he writes about was what Hamas wants. And last week, Defense Minister Yoav Gallant, he writes, in Israel, described Israel as already engaged in a multi-front war. I continue to think that Hamas miscalculated badly when it attacked on October 7th and was surprised by the scale of the carnage it wreaked and the reaction it provoked. Now that much of Gaza has been leveled and many thousands of Palestinians killed, its incentives have changed. What good would a ceasefire do Hamas now? The brutality of the Gaza invasion has left Israel largely friendless, or at least with its few remaining friends, publicly urging restraint. Hamas has friends too, and it very much wants them to join in. Those on U.S. college campuses and in European capitals calling for a ceasefire are demonstrating their admirable independence of the Hamas party line. A ceasefire is the opposite of Hamas's goals. It wants the war to expand, and there is some evidence that its wish will be granted. Hamas seems to have launched these attacks, writes Graham Wood in Atlantic, without the permission of its main backer, Iran. You gave us no warning of your October 7th attack on Israel, and we will not enter into the war on your behalf. Iranians' leaders told Hamas's leader, according to Reuters. So what does that all mean for the United States and our decision-making? Coming up on the MedVet Show.
More of Michael MedVet in a moment.
Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for Amfed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and company, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call Amfed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. A lot of times on the Michael Medved Show, we're talking about the present, things that just happened. Sometimes we try to look toward the future, but we also try very seriously to look toward the past. And that's why it's a very good idea right now in this present moment to sign up as a MedHead Plus member. It gives you access to close to 100 history programs on the Medved Show, ranging from the American Revolution to the origins of the State of Israel to the history of political parties in the United States and the Constitution and world struggles like World War I and World War II, and yes, the Vietnam War. All available to you at a minuscule cost of 22 cents a day. Plus access to our show 24/7. Go to MedvedHistoryStore.com. You spend a little, you learn a lot.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So
keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
There is breaking news about the bomb threats at numerous state capitals and state legislatures around the country today. ABC News reporting that the FBI is aware of the numerous hoax incidents wherein a bomb threat at a state capitol building is made. So said the FBI in a new statement just released. The FBI takes hoax threats very seriously because it puts innocent people at risk. While we have no information to indicate a specific and credible threat, we will continue to work with our local, state, and federal law enforcement partners to gather, share, and act upon threat information as it comes to our attention, the statement continued. The hoax threat was sent via a mass email and was titled Explosives Inside of Your State Capitol. I placed multiple explosives inside of your state capitol. The email sent at 7:45 a.m. Reads, the explosives spelled wrong. that's okay. I mean, we're talking about hoax terrorists here. Are well hidden inside and they will go off in a few hours. I will make sure you all end up dead. Law enforcement sources say they believe that threat emanated from overseas. Now, that's interesting. The buildings that were targeted were located in Kentucky, Maine, Missouri, Oregon, Nebraska, Rhode Island, Montana, Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, New York, South Dakota, and South Carolina. That's 12 different state capitals. And there may be more. Again, the one thing that I think this argues for is how important it is to have a situation where there's confidence in the FBI and confidence in their ability to do their job, which is, by the way, to figure out where these threats are coming from. And to do something to put these people away and to put them away for a long time, because the danger and the waste of human resources and the interruption of the functioning of our democracy is so profound here. And the whole idea that this is somehow going to be linked to the anniversary of January 6th, because today is, obviously, as people know, January 3rd. Let us find out if that happens. Meanwhile, the Maine Secretary of State, whose name is Shenna Bellows, she was the Secretary of State who, in her 34-page decision, decided that she was legally obliged by the 14th Amendment, Section 3 of the Constitution of the United States to keep Donald Trump off the state's presidential primary ballot for the primary coming up in March, a couple of weeks from now, in Maine. She and her staff continue to receive threatening communications in the aftermath of her decision last week to disqualify President Donald Trump from the primary ballot in March. The barrage of aggressive, abusive communications that came into my office all day Friday to members of my staff, the targeting of my family and the targeting of other people online who stood up for me, is unacceptable, Bellows said in an interview. The swatting of my home is unacceptable. Meanwhile, the upcoming debate, which has gotten less attention than other debates, partially because of a problem in the media that is pointed out by Ben Smith, who we're going to be talking to a little bit later in this show. Part of what he is saying is that the media have miscovered the whole struggle for the Republican nomination by basically downplaying the fact that there is a primary going on. And though the Trump victory in a primary, however likely it may appear according to all of the polling, it is not automatic. Meanwhile, the next step in the primary is January 10th, so it's a week from now. CNN will then host the year's very first primary debate in Des Moines with a 10% polling threshold. In other words, unless you're scoring 10%, you're not invited. And only three candidates have reached that 10% threshold consistently, so they get invited: Ron DeSantis, Nikki Haley, and Donald Trump. Donald Trump, it is very unlikely, will be there because he has already accepted on another network a town hall meeting where he will be questioned by Bret Baier and Martha McCallum. Fox News will host that town hall with former President Trump. That will be from Iowa on January 10th. And Bret Baier and Martha McCallum will be co-moderating. I think that's probably a good idea, because if you've got one Donald Trump and two different moderators, there's more of a chance that the moderators will be able to get something to say or insert or to interact with the former president. That event takes place at the same time as CNN's debate, which will include U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. That will be on CNN. The former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie said yes, he would stay in the race after New Hampshire Governor Chris Sununu and others, frankly, suggested that he should end his campaign and back Haley. Christie maintained that he was the candidate to take on Trump and said that Haley has been unwilling to take on the former president directly. She did send out, I think, an email. I've said email. No, it's not an email. She did post an X communique, what used to be called a Twitter, yesterday. That was our tweet of the day, that said that it was time for Donald Trump to stop hiding. And rather than having the debate be just a debate between Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis, to have him join the fun, but he would prefer to have the town hall where he is joined by Martha McCallum and Bret Baier. the in launching radio and TV spots, Chris Christie's pack, which is called Tell It Like It is providing new TV and radio spots in New Hampshire today. The TV ad titled Follow Me features Christie slamming his opponents at a town hall for not criticizing Trump. And meanwhile, former Representative Steve King, a Republican of Iowa, remember him? He was in a good deal of trouble for making a whole series of comments that were highly controversial. In any event, he has endorsed venture capitalist Vivek Ramaswamy for President of the United States. King lost his renomination in 2020 after he was condemned for defending white nationalism and white supremacy. He said there was nothing wrong with white nationalism. When asked if Ramaswamy condemned white supremacy, he told reporters to stop picking on this farce of some figment that exists at some infinitesimally small fringe, and that he condemns vicious racial discrimination, but that he would not bend the knee to condemn white supremacy. And then President Biden's campaign detailed its first election year campaign push this week. Biden will deliver a speech at Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, on Saturday, commemorating the third anniversary of the January 6th insurrection. Valley Forge, you could say, that was one of the low points, tough points for the American Revolution. I'm not sure what the message is that Biden is going to try to be sending in the speech. Biden will cast Trump as an ongoing threat to democracy, of course, previewing the high-stakes messaging the president will carry into the election year. We will talk about that election year and political winners and losers of 2023 and potentially 2024, all coming up in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Sign up today for the free Medved newsletter with new columns, commentaries, and movie reviews. Go to michaelmedved.com.
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of Carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers, there's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com. GCNfood.com.